You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.
All right. On that note, let's bring him in from Bleacher Report. He's a burgeoning star in this industry. All of a sudden, you see him all over the place, and that is one Connor Rogers. Good morning, Connor. How are you, bud?
Good morning, Dave. Really nice intro. Thanks a lot.
I speak the truth. I mean, I see what's happening there. I just hope that when you're the big star that I know you're going to be, you remember the little people from along the way.
I always will, and I've really, really enjoyed this so far. It's been a fun year, and I think we could say a pretty good draft, hopefully, for your New York Giants so far.
Yeah, we'll start with the Giants. We'll get into the Jets as well and then kind of go around the league. I feel good about what the Giants have done. They obviously love Thomas. He's from a big school. He's played against the best. He's more than held his own. You hear rave reviews from everyone about him. And then we'll start there, and we'll kind of work our way through with the Giants. But you like what they did at four overall, right?
I absolutely love it. I've actually liked their entire draft. And I think when you look at Andrew Thomas, number one, a lot of things play in here. Number one, he gets to Georgia. He comes in as a true freshman. He starts at right tackle right away. That's not easy to do. And he becomes a freshman All-American. And then he plays on the left side for 2 years. And he's a really, really good starter, probably the best left tackle in the SEC. And then he's a permanent team captain as well. So he kind of checks all these boxes for the New York Giants that we're seeing Joe Judge really, really value. And I think with Andrew Thomas, not only do they get a leader of their offensive line, it's really a changing of the guard. This guy will be the leader in the trenches for a long time. In a year where we have no rookie minicamp, no OTAs, you're getting somebody that I don't really have any questions about him playing right away on the left or right side. And with Jedrick Wills, Tristan Wirfs, they played right tackle. Mekhi Becton, you know, we want to see how he develops as a pass protector. But with Andrew Thomas, I just never had those questions either way. I know he's a really good run blocker. He's a reliable, smart pass protector. Well, he's not the athlete of the other three guys. I just thought he was rock solid all the way and insanely high character.
So if you had to put a dollar on it, would you say he starts the year at left tackle or right tackle for the Giants?
Yeah, this is what everyone's trying to figure out. My gut feeling is right tackle. I think they're going to roll with Nate Solder on the left side. Now, the thing here is we almost bet on Solder's body not holding up at this point, it feels like. So you wonder, would you rather give him the reps right away? But my gut feeling is they feel good about having a swing tackle in Cam Fleming, where they're probably going to just plug and play Thomas on the right side. And another thing is he does project nicely on the right side. He's such a strong, heavy-handed run blocker that I think he'll do really, really well there right away.
All right, so Gettleman said after they made the pick that the Giants were actually on the verge of trading back because they obviously need so many things, but they loved McKinney so much they just couldn't bear to not take him at 36. You're a fan of his as well?
Yeah, I am. I think this is one of the safer picks in the draft. When you look at Xavier McKinney, what he was asked to do at Alabama, the amount of responsibilities he had on the back end in coverage is just not something you see very often in an Alabama defense. So that speaks to the IQ of this player. I think when you look at him, he got a lot better this year in terms of cleaning up tackling and just being so responsible in coverage. He could play two deep safety. I'll be curious to see if they want to use him in any single high roles. I think he can move well enough to do that. He can come down into the slot, into the seam, and run with a lot of these move tight ends we're seeing in the NFL, runs with running backs. And he's not really afraid to throw his body around either. So there was kind of a theme here in the first two picks. It seemed like they wanted to go super high character, super, super high floor players, players that I think will play right away. I think they'll play at a pretty high level right away. And you can ask a lot of them. It's shocking. Joe Judge comes from New England. I think these guys really, really have to be all-stars in the classroom as well as on the field. And it felt like both of those picks matched that.
Any reason to be concerned about the 4.63 that he ran at the combine?
Not really, because I didn't see that on the film with the play speed. He looked like he ran a 4.5 with the play speed. I mean, when you're in the SEC, you're playing for Alabama, you're running with guys that play for LSU and all of these teams that have speed. He never looked out of place. So I don't really understand why the straight line speed was a tick slower. I think when you play safety, his downhill speed, number one, is very, very good. Click and close is phenomenal. So that just didn't concern me in his game.
All right, then next kid out of UConn, third-round pick, 99. Is it Peart? Is that how you say his last name?
Matt Peart.
Peart. Okay, it is Peart. So the commissioner messed up last night then.
Yeah, he's got, yeah. I don't
he's
know
had
how
some issues. This has not been a great
those
2 days for the commissioner.
No, he looks exhausted.
which is somewhat surprising. I mean, the draft starts at, 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and he looks so tired. By the end of last night, he was, slumped over in a chair.
I know. I was like, Roger, imagine having to talk about every single one of these picks live. I mean, he's the guy, I guess he's just tired.
All right, so it's Matt Peart from UConn, local kid from the Bronx, 4-year starter at UConn. Give us a little information on him.
Yeah, so, I mean, Peart is a guy that they're probably looking to project as their long-term right tackle. He's a very feisty player. I think when you see him on film, he's not afraid to get to the second level and put people in the ground. Now, this was a little early for him, but I don't really judge that when it comes to offensive tackle, because the fact is, and I was actually having a conversation with an O-line coach, NFL O-line coach, about this the night before the draft, is that we go through all the players and we're like, yeah, some of these guys will be fourth, fifth round players, and they go in the second or third round because all these teams are dying to upgrade their offensive line. So that kind of happened with Peart, where, you know, he didn't always play against the best level of competition, but he's a good athlete for his size. I mean, 6'7", he's got arms down to the ground, Dave. He's got literally like 37-inch arms.
That's the longest arms in the draft, right?
Yeah, it's insane. Longer arms than Mekhi Becton. So when you look at Peart, the feeling here is they think they can coach him up in pass protection because he has such good length that, you know, the feet might be a little bit heavy right now, and I think when you're that tall and that long, your base strength isn't going to catch up with your body. So I think for Peart, they want to get a little bit more weight on him or a little bit more lower body power, but you don't have to worry about the effort. Like, the tenacity is there. It's just that his anchor as a pass protector is something they're going to keep an eye on. And it's good that they have four tackles now because, once again, this is going to be Nate Solder's last year as a New York Giant. Cam Fleming is going to be their swing guy for the next 2 years. And in an ideal world, we know Andrew Thomas is going to be a starter. I don't have any worries there. And then you look at Peart, I think he's somebody that's going to start at right tackle eventually, probably 2021.
All right. So far, you like what the Giants have done?
I really do, and that's because I put such an emphasis on two things for them on all the mock drafts we did. One, get a franchise tackle that helps Daniel Jones and keeps him upright and, of course, gives Saquon more running room. And number two, I thought they needed a playmaking safety on the back end. And I think McKinney was one of the best guys. And actually, with McKinney, it's not even really the playmaking. It's the reliability. You don't have to worry about him getting beat all the time. And, you know, when I put safety in round two, a couple of Giants fans were like, well, we have Julian Love. And McKinney's just a much more polished player than anything they have on the back end right now. And I think when you look at Peart, I like that they're thinking ahead on the offensive line. Gone are the days of rolling in with this, you know, this group that is just mediocre at best. You really need to be prepared and get a young core in there. And they've done that in the first 2 days of the draft already.
All right. So, I mean, you can never project what you're going to see in rounds 4 through 7. But, you know, any names that you hear thrown out with the Giants and any positions that you think they go after? Are we at the point where it's just if you're talented, they'll take you?
I think actually with Gettleman, I would never really rule out adding more linebackers. And I thought this is a pretty good linebacker class. Now, the way I look at the board, some of my best players are actually at the linebacker position. Two guys here that I thought moved very, very well are Akeem Davis-Gathier from App State and Troy Dye from Oregon. So with Gettleman, I just never rule out the position. It's always good to have guys that can run at that position. I thought both of those guys covered very well. So for the New York Giants, I know they spent money in that area, but I don't think the guys they have can run with running backs or tight ends. So getting a nickel backer would actually be a pretty big priority for me today.
All right, let's swing over to the New York Jets and Connor Rogers, Bleacher Report, joining us here, 98.7 ESPN. Yeah, and I'm not in the position that you're in where I analyze everyone to that extent, but from what I've seen from Joe Douglas' first draft, I really am a fan so far.
Yeah, I'm pretty impressed, number one, Dave, with how he navigated the board. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's something that we haven't seen from the New York Jets franchise in a draft, and I don't know if we've seen it really in my lifetime. So when you look at it, I think they're sitting there at 48. Everybody's screaming for Denzel Mims. I was doing it. I'm saying Sam Darnold has no one to throw to. You need size, need speed. Take Denzel Mims. And they move out of the pick, and everyone kind of freaks out. And they get Mims anyway later. They get an extra third rounder that they turned into 2 fours and an extra six. So he's just moving the board. They needed picks. They have so many needs. He's done a really, really nice job with that. I think when you look at Mims, of course, there's going to be some holes in this game. You worry about the concentration drops of those rumors he's playing through injuries. You know, you want to see him play a little tougher through coverage and at the catch point, but you needed size and speed, and they got that. So that's really, really exciting. I think when you look at the Ashton Davis pick, a lot of people kind of freaked out and go, oh, my God, are they going to trade Jamal Adams? Completely different player. I actually think he can convert to cornerback with his speed and ability and coverage. And Marcus May is a free agent after this year, so they're going to be looking for a free safety of the future because you can't pay both Jamal Adams and Marcus May. So, and, you know, of course, getting edge pass rush help. We'll see how Zuniga pans out. He's a guy that has always had the talent, but he just, once again, has been banged up a lot. So for Joe Douglas, everything was, you know, pretty exciting the first 2 days, but I think this day actually matters the most now that they have 6 picks.
Yeah, I mean, they have a ton of equity today. The 11th overall pick, Mekhi Becton, the upside from everyone you hear is absolutely there, maybe the most of any of these four tackles. Do you like this selection for the Jets in the first round?
I do. I think when you looked at the board, you would have loved to grab, you know, Andrew Thomas or Jedrick Wills, and you look at it, you know, they were just never going to be in that position sitting at 11. That was not on the radar for them. And it came down to Wirfs versus Becton. And from what I can gather, they thought Wirfs was a guard because of the arm length and size. And they looked at Becton and said, okay, he played left tackle all year. He's played on the left and right side like Andrew Thomas. That's something that, you know, Wills didn't do. Wirfs played very minimal reps on the left side. So they were excited about the experience on the left and right side with Becton. He's going to play on the left side. Pro ready. He was the best run blocker in the draft. I mean, when you're that big, that strong, and you move, you just don't see guys that are 6'7", 365 with light feet. They don't exist on planet Earth. You know, a couple of guys in the NBA, but they're just not that heavy. So when you look at Becton, that was the selling point for him. He drives people to the sideline. Phenomenal, phenomenal run blocker. They're going to have to, you know, coach him up in pass pro. It's not that he got beat in pass pro, because he really didn't go against a lot of great pass rushers. He really didn't get beat. You just want to coach him up, make sure he'll be okay against counter moves. So I think with Becton, it's exciting that they got a huge, huge upgrade at left tackle from what they had on the roster for Sam Darnold right away.
You think he's the starting left tackle day one?
Yeah, I do. I think they're going to let George Fant and Chuma Edoga battle it out on the right side, and they're going to ask Becton to play on the left side right away. So, and, you know, the biggest concern with him, honestly, it was that, and I thought he was a first-round player, the only really concern is that he needs to keep his conditioning up. Mm-hmm. And the good thing for Becton is, you know, he's been in Texas since December after his college season ended. He works out every day with one of the top offensive line trainers in the country. So he wants to get down to 355, and he was working out the day after he got picked. So I think he's going to reach that goal and be ready to go.
All right, give me, and Connor Rogers, Bleacher Report, joining us here, 98.7 ESPN. Give me a couple of teams that you look at and you say, boy, they did really well. Because when I look at them, Connor, I think there's a lot of teams that had a really nice couple of first days here in this draft.
I completely agree. What a bizarre year where everybody is just kind of solving needs, doing really well. Now, it's a good draft class. So, you know, that was something that you were hoping to see. And the Baltimore Ravens came out of this thing, and I just don't understand how they do it. It's like good players fall to them time and time again, especially a guy like Patrick Queen, the best cover linebacker in the entire draft, falling to them. I mean, they just capitalize on value. They get J.K. Dobbins, their running back of the future. So when you look at Baltimore, it's impressive how they do it. I think the Raiders, they had a big head-scratcher on night one with Damon Arnett. That pick didn't make any sense at all. There was a lot of better corners on the board, but they did such a good job after that. Lynn Bowden can play every single position on offense. You know, when you look at Henry Ruggs and Bryan Edwards, they got speed with one guy, they got size with the other guy, starters in the SEC that are pro-ready players. So when you look at the Raiders, you know, Tanner Muse is a guy that can play a little bit of everything on defense, and of course it's going to be your core special teamer. I think Mike Mayock, you know, a lot of people question that hire when you get a guy that never really had in NFL scouting experience. He was a media scout. You know, something that I aspire to do. And I think I look at it and it's just very impressive making that transition to the league and really showing full control of now two drafts in a row for the Vegas team.
I look at Cleveland. I really like what they did. I look at the Lions. I like what they did. I mean, I can go up and down, and a lot of teams, Connor, just did really, really well here.
They did, and I think even the Bengals did a good job by,
they
you know,
did.
Not just taking Joe Burrow. You double up and grab T. Higgins, and everyone's sitting there going, well, they got A.J. Green, they got Tyler Boyd, they got Auden Tate. You know, we felt good about wide receiver, why'd they do this? And it's like, well, you're taking a guy number one. Everybody's sitting there and saying you don't give your teams a chance every year. Now you are. You're loading up a wide receiver. A.J. Green's probably only going to be there for one more year. He's never healthy the last 2 years. It's something that people keep overlooking. You know, they gave him the franchise tag because I think they wanted to keep Burrow happy when he got there. But T. Higgins is going to play a big role on this team. Zach Bond falling to the Saints is absolutely ridiculous. He was a first-round player in my eyes, so I think that was another big win for New Orleans. You nailed it. It's been a year where it just seems like all these teams are doing a really nice job. Now, of course, everybody's not going to pan out, but there hasn't been a lot of head-scratching picks, a ton of reaches. Yeah, I'll tell you what, and you might like to hear this, Dave, the one team that I have no idea what they're doing, to be completely honest with you, is the Eagles.
Yes.
What are they doing? You know, and I like Jalen Hurts, but what are they? I mean, are you trying to copy New Orleans and get Taysom Hill? Is that your plan here? Or are you? I didn't even like Jalen Reagor as a first-round player. I think I had him 51st overall. There was like 12 receivers ahead of him on my board. You know, you take Davion Taylor from Colorado as a run and chase linebacker, but he was like the poor man's version of, you know, five different linebackers ahead of him. I don't hate the players they took. They reached on every single one. There's no strategy. They didn't get better. Them and the Packers have been
beyond. Funny you say that, because those are the two that I was going to bring up of teams that I don't like. But quickly with the Eagles, aren't they basically telling us, and maybe I'm misreading it, but it doesn't feel like it, that we just do not have any confidence in the health of Carson Wentz?
That's the vibe I get. I tried also saying that I think they want to get creative and use Jalen Hurts in their red zone offense. But once again, do you need to do that in the second round? They have needs. I mean, they needed a linebacker very, very badly. They still needed some help in the secondary for the long term. They had a lot of needs. I agree that you sit there and you look at it and you go, they didn't want to spend any money at backup quarterback, but they still feel like it's such a priority. And then you go and take Jalen Hurts. It's very interesting dynamic they're starting to create in Philadelphia. And something, I'll tell you this, Dave, something that everybody in the league has their eyes on right now with Philadelphia is they lost Joe Douglas. This is their first draft in a while without Joe Douglas, who looks like he's doing a pretty good job himself. Mm-hmm. They lost Andrew Berry, who went to Cleveland. Now everybody's sitting there and going, okay, Howie Roseman, we know he's a smart guy, but did losing his two draft lieutenants really, really hurt the Eagles? And I think so far it has.
All right, Connor, listen, always appreciate it. Continued success to you. This has been a really fun weekend and a much-needed time, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks so much, Dave. Always good to talk to you, and enjoy the rest of the draft.
You're listening to the Dave Rothenberg Show podcast on ESPNNewYork.com.